He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. In other words, He puts me on a path that I don't always like. He didn't ask me if I liked it. He didn't ask me if I wanted to be here. He didn't ask me, do you want to do this? He said, I'm putting you here, ready for this, for my glory. You're not going to get any glory out of it. You're not getting pleasure out of it. I'm not putting you here to make you feel better. I'm putting you on this path for my glory. I'm bringing restoration, life, power, healing, deliverance, peace. And by the way, if not but one soul this morning gets something out of this message, I'm here for you. If it's skipping over the 99 this morning and I get one of you, I'm on this path this morning for you. Y'all, give me the next one. I'll hurry up. Oh, here we go. Foot. Yea, though I... Where? Walk where? You jumped it. Through the what? None of us like valleys. Everybody wants out of the valley. Get me out of the valley. Oh God, you gotta deliver me out of the valley. Oh God, it's so bad. How you doing? Got my composure now. Had this sweet little lady in my church that I pastored one time back in Concord. She wanted a job. She got the job. She asked me, will you agree with me? We agree. She said, oh, Pastor, it's going to be great money. I'm going to enjoy the job. So she got the job. About 3 weeks later, this little sweet lady comes to me and said, by God, Pastor, you've got to pray me out of this job. I said, sweetie, I thought you wanted, oh God, Pastor, these women that I work with, oh my God, you ought to hear how they talk. What they do on the weekend with men and women, oh my God. I mean, she was bent out of shape. I looked at her real nice and said, I'm not praying you out of this job. I can't make it, Pastor. I said, yes, you can. God put you in this valley for a purpose. Hold on a second. I like your mountains. Real nice. Better than mine in North Carolina. We got rocks. Y'all got mountains. We got hills. Y'all got mountains. I notice when it gets a certain altitude on the mountains, stuff stops growing. Why? Help me. You people know it better. Somebody tell me. What? Above the timberline. What does that mean? Tell me what that means. What? No air, no what? No water, no air, no... Well, no. Yeah, y'all don't have trees. We don't even go there. Y'all got shrubs, but we do have trees. No soil. So in other words, the valley, if you want soil, nutrients, life, all of it's been washed off from down there to where? Hello? Where? So why are we complaining about the valley this morning? Why don't we take a seed of faith and plant it down in the rich, fertile soil of the valley? While we're in it, why don't we produce something while we're there? Why don't we take advantage of the good soil that we're in the valley? And quit looking at it and go, this is the sorriest place I've ever been in my life. Oh my God, if I ever get out of here, I don't ever be in here again. And God's going, you're rich. You're in the richest place. You're in the most fertile place of your life. And you're complaining about being in a fertile place. You're complaining about being in a rich place. You're complaining about being in a place... Oh, I forgot. It's a valley of shadow of... That's where you die, in the valley. You die to yourself. Hold on a second. You ready? Here's where we mess up Psalms 23. You're no longer going to be a sheep. So far, you've been a sheep. Led. Now you're in a valley. Now you're going to die. Now there's going to come a transformation in the valley, because in the valley is where you learn some principles. I don't have to fear. I don't have to worry. I don't have to live in anxiety. I'll hurry up. I know I'm boring this morning. I don't have to worry about... thank you, Lord. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I live, but Christ lives in me. Therefore, I'm a new creature. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. You know, everybody quotes Romans chapter 7. They don't quote chapter 8. They quote chapter 7 because they like chapter 7, because they can confess, I'm a sinner, and that's the way I'm going to be, and that's the way I want to be. Paul said, in chapter 7, I find two laws in me, the law of the flesh, the law of the spirit. They're contrary one to another. And when I would do good, evil was there with me. True. And the things I ought not do, I do. True. But read 8:1. What's that, Pastor? There is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He said, you want to handle the problems in chapter 7? Die in your valley. Be resurrected in new power. Quit living in the fear. Thank you. Quit living in the fear of that old nature taking over all the time. Because if you kill that thing in the valley, for thou art with me. Why? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Give me the next one. I'll leave that alone. That's you don't want that. Five. All right. Really? Five. Five says this. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Cheer, please. Cheer. Redneck terminology. Cheer. Cheer. Can I have the cheer? Oh, God will get you for that one. Yeah, you want me to anoint them with oil next too? No, I'm not saying that either. No, I'm not saying that. They won't quit sidetracking me. Hippie. So I would say, sir, that the Lord does things weird sometimes, right? Sometimes He prepares a table for us where we don't expect it. Huh? Where does it say He prepares the table? Where? Well, I would rather have a table prepared at the Ritz-Carlton. I would, the Waldorf Astorian? Yeah. What? Everybody said Golden Corral, I'm with you. Woo, woo, woo for Golden Corral. My interpretation of this scripture, and I'm going to do my best to make progress here as quick as I can, because I believe God has a purpose and a plan for this day other than me making you mad in the beginning. You got better. I'm glad you did. Some of you I'm still worried about, but 99% of you, I'm glad. You prepare a table for me. My wife, grandmother, is from Colorado Springs. My mother-in-law is from Colorado Springs. My wife's great-grandmother, whatever, is German descent. So she has some heirloom china We could fix the bathroom if we could sell two plates. I mean, one plate's like 4,000 something bucks. Sell a plate, you know. eBay. I'm an eBay junkie. Anyway, moving along. It's about like me going upstairs into her cedar chest and unwrapping, mailing the cedar chest to Afghanistan. And finding out where ISIS is having all hell break loose and telling somebody, will you go prepare a table for me and my wife in the middle of that war zone where they're cutting off heads, you know, and doing all that stuff? And tell my wife, hey, baby, I prepared a table for us in the most unique place in the world. Only got to fly a couple of hours. Well, maybe quite a few hours. We got to fly. And I promise you, I've already bought one of the vests for you. You know, I bought an AR-500 vest for you. If you don't know what that is, that'll take an AR round about that close, and it won't penetrate it. So I said, I got you a vest. I got you a jacket, you know, to help shrapnel and everything else. And I got you some goggles for the dust and sand just in case it's blowing. She'd go, my God, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to Afghanistan. We're going to Afghanistan. I got your grandmother's heirloom china set up over there. Why are you looking at me like that? You're looking at me like I'm crazy. Oh, she would have me committed. I'd be in a jacket going, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'd have to have somebody else doing blah, blah, and have my hands behind my back, you know? He prepares a table for me where? In the most ridiculous place. It looks like he would airlift us out. Chopper one,
yes.
Send the Black Hawk in.
Heavy artillery. We've got a Pastor Chuck that we need to airlift out. Been in the war zone. Could you please, and what was that? No? Why not? You're not going to airlift him out? My God, all hell's breaking loose down here, man. Wait a minute. He's wanted to quit. He's been mad. He wants to retire. He don't know what in the world. You know that other place, too, what's going on. And you're telling me to tell him no? You're not airlifting him? Huh? I mean, excuse me, God, he's really going to question your will. Oh, he already has sometimes, too. Yeah. I can't blame him, God. I have, too. Matter of fact, I'm questioning it right now, talking to you. Oh, okay. Quit questioning, just obey you. Okay. Tell him you said no.
So God said no. So let me borrow you for a second. You're the guy in the chair. Tag, you're it. Come here. Let me, this way to your table, sir. Table for one, Pastor Chuck. I get to play the devil. Of course, that's not hard, my wife says sometimes. I got your attention now. I like this. I finally, hey. What are you doing sitting here? It is it not? Oh, God. What are you doing sitting here? You have no right sitting here. This is what the devil says. You know how frustrated you are. You know how frustrated you've been. You know how much pressure you're feeling. You got pressure in home. You got pressure in life. You got pressure in your head. You got pressure all around. You're being bombed. And you just think that you can sit down at the table of the Lord. He's going to do something great for you. You got another thing coming. Well, that's the enemy's job, is it not? Is to accuse us. Now, none of that stuff is true that I know of. I mean, he may be embalmed. He may be being attacked. He may have wanted to quit. I don't know. So I'm just playing devil's advocate this morning. I'm just saying what the devil does when God prepares a table for us. Where? Where? And our enemies gawk at us sometimes, because sometimes there are multiple enemies. And they prophesy doom on us. They prophesy gloom on us. We even have enemies that sit in the ranks sometime with us who try to tell us how to do our job. To criticize us over our faithfulness or unfaithfulness as they see it. Try to tell us how spiritual we are or how spiritual we're not. Who put grievous burdens on us that when they see us break down, they wouldn't take one finger to lift it off. Just give me one of them. Give me your favorite meat. What is? Let me talk to your wife. He's a man. He can't make up his mind. What's his favorite meal? Steak. What does he like with his steak? Baked potato? No? Oh, sweet potato fries? Okay. Yam type fries? Okay. What kind of steak? You like filet mignon? No? Ribeye? Ribeye, man. Okay, we got ribeye, we got potato. Hang out with me, I'm cooking here. You watch cook shows for 30 minutes to an hour? Just hang out for a second, I'm cooking. He doesn't like vegetables. Jalapenos, that's a vegetable. It is this morning. Anything else? He likes sweet things? Is that why he married you? Hey, you owe me for that. You remember what you told me? By the way, laughter is a good medicine. Enjoy this. Because some of us have been beat up and we need to laugh. Amen? So enjoy this for a second. It's okay to laugh. So we got jalapenos, we got steak, we got plank potatoes, and, oh, shrooms? Oh, you hippie? Oh, mushrooms! Excuse me. Had a flashback. Mushrooms! Anything else? What does he like to drink? Soda. So here we go. We've got this luscious steak in au jus, and we've got these plank fries, we've got these mushrooms, and we've got our green vegetable, jalapeno. And we've got our soda. That is some more wonderful meal. Anyway, for him it is. Anyway, it's all sitting here in front of you, and this is what God's doing this morning. Go ahead and eat. And for the life of us, we feel like we're paralyzed and we can't eat. It's sitting here piping hot sometimes, and our enemy is screaming at us, and we're emotionally, listen to me, I'm talking to y'all. Us, y'all, redneck, North Carolina there. Larry the Cable Guy, get her done, you know, that kind of guy. Here we go. We're scrambled in our head. Sometimes we don't know whether we're coming or going. We're frustrated in life sometimes with issues. And we got this piping hot spiritual meal. And we don't even know where to start to eat it at. And the enemy, listen, hang out. The enemy's screaming to y'all, well, you didn't pray enough this week. You didn't read your Bible enough this week. You remember when you told that person where they could go and it wasn't heaven? It started with an H, but it wasn't heaven. You remember that attitude you had? You remember that thought you had? And you're sitting here and the devil's giving you all kind of junk, telling you what right you don't have to eat. And God prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemy this morning. And all you can see is your enemy. So this is what the Father does. He says, go ahead and eat. Everything's okay. Listen to this. You're going to handle that when I get through with you here. You're going to rise up here with a new anointing. I'm going to give you a time of refreshing. Here's what I'm going to do. Ready? I'm going to anoint your head. Can I give you six areas of the head that need to be anointed in your life? Will you please for just a few seconds? One, the way you think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It's a part of my head. It's a part of my life. It's a necessity of my life. And if I can't get my stinking thinking straightened out, I live in fear, I live in terror, and I live in anxiety, and I'm never able ever to eat of the goodness of God. The next area of my life is my ears. Because my ears are sensitive. They should be able to hear what God says and not what the devil says. So I need my ears anointed with oil. When I was 7 years old, I had dirt impacted in my left ear. My mom took me to Dr. Cotchcroft, our old family doctor. It's a weird name. Cotchcroft. Y'all are devils. Y'all are just so dirty. His crotch didn't cough, okay? That's what they're thinking. Boy, these people here, oh, Father, God, save them. Anoint their ears so they can hear me right, God. My mom goes in. The nurse, the doctor comes in, calls in that wicked nurse. You know that one? My mom lays down on me. That nurse grabs my ear with the 50cc syringe full of baby oil, soapy Dawn water, and it was really sort of hot. And she tells my mom, lay down on him and hold him to the table. Yeah. She pulls my ear like that and squirts half of that down in my ear. And she's, look, this nurse is not nice. I'm married to a nurse. They're not nice. She grabs my ear and starts doing this right here. And I'm screaming, Mama! My mother, I love her, but she betrayed me. She betrayed me. They rolled me over and gunk came out of my ear. The nurse said, let's do it again. My mom, same story, does it again, rolls it over. The nurse says, Miss Beaver, would you like to check the other ear just in case? My mother says, yes, we might as well. I left there with perfectly good hearing, but went through a lot of pain. Sometimes we need our ears anointed with oil because we've heard so much of the world. We've heard so much turmoil. We've heard about ISIS. We've heard about economy. We've heard about men, we've heard about women, we've heard about a society in danger, we've heard about rights and everything else, we've heard about church, we've heard about pain, we've heard about misery, we've heard about woe, and it's time that one more time we get our ears anointed with oil so that we can hear from heaven, so we can hear something good, so we hear that God is for us and not against us, and that the favor of God is on me, and that if God is for me, nothing can stop me. The gates of hell can't prevail against me. Can I encourage somebody and tell you this morning that the gates of hell cannot prevail against you? If you just listen, the Spirit of God's trying to tell you something here today. I'm for you, not against you. The next thing he's going to anoint is his nose. You say, why? Because that spiritual discernment I worked in a seafood market for 3.5 years of my life. I can smell that man's bad socks back there. Oh, he don't have socks on. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding, by the way. I've got a guy. He's like, I'm going to punch you. I picked on the wrong guy. He's bigger than me. I mean, I had an African-American lady walk by me one day in a mall. She smelled like heaven. I chased her down. She was an older lady, but wasn't a young woman, older lady. And I chased her down with my wife, and I said, excuse me. I touched her. She jumped. You know, southern black lady, what you want? Yeah, I said, I want to know what you got on. What, you know, I mean, what cologne, what perfume? She said, oh, she loved up then. I said, when you walk by me, you smell wonderful. I want to buy it for my wife. If she's, we couldn't have any more babies, but I'm going to spray that on her. Huh? Yeah. Lady in the white hat, no, she's like, yeah. Yes, ma'am. I went and bought that stuff immediately, sprayed it on her. It stunk like a skunk on her. Lie you not, my hand up to Jesus. It smelled horrible on my wife. I gave it away. She said, oh my God, this don't smell like that woman. I went, I know they're wondering where I'm going with this, okay? I was never there when that woman sprayed that cologne on, but I discerned it with my nose when she walked by. And discernment ought to be one of the greatest gifts that we have in the church. We ought to discern without seeing with our eyes, but discern with our spirit. The next thing is our mouth, our authority. Because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. You've been crying out to God for an answer. You've been crying out to God for a will. You've been crying out to God to know your future. It's not time to resign. It's not time to retire. He's going to give you another breath. There's a new season, Pastor Chuck, coming to you. There is a new season, sir, coming to any man or any woman that will be willing to trust you. God's going to raise you up in something new. You've been through a fiery trial. You've walked in a place where you didn't understand. You've walked in some times. You've questioned, God, is this right? And God is bringing you somewhere fresh and new. And there's a boldness, Pastor, that's about to come out of your mouth like never before. God said to tell you the lion of the tribe of Judah is about to roar through you. God's about to bring men and women back to your side. You're going to speak life to them. You're going to speak hope to them. Let's see. Brain, ears, nose, eyes. I've left them out. Because it's always good to see what the Lord sees. And sometimes it takes you to go into a place where you're outnumbered for the Lord to show you that there's more for you than there are against you. So God's going to anoint His eyes with a new eye salve. And there's going to be some scales fall off. There's going to be some dinginess fall off. And there's going to be a new clarity, Pastor, like you haven't had in years. And then there's one other area, Pastor, and that is your neck, because that's integrity. Your integrity has been challenged by other people. But God said today He will anoint your neck with a new stance of integrity. And you will hold your head up. You will not drop your head. You will never cower, not that you have. You will never cower to another man the days of your ministry. This day the Lord said, in the presence of your enemies, both physical and spiritual, He is anointing your head with fresh oil. You will stand with boldness. You will stand with authority. You will stand with clarity. The word of the Lord will come alive like it hasn't in a season in your life. And you will watch. You will watch as you speak to people's lives. Spirits literally tremble. You will watch as powers and principalities run from the authority of Him that is in you. I need to move because it says your cup's about to run over. Now here's how I see this, Pastor. I see God with a cup in front of you, and He's pouring, and the cup is about to the brim. And by the way, it's not one of those little Dixie cups. It's a man cup, you know? How you handle a hungry man, one of those kind of cups. And the Lord's pouring, and He says, I'm going to pour it on you, Pastor. And He goes, but Lord, you're about to spill it. And He goes, don't worry about it. You just eat. I'm pouring. And all of a sudden, it gets to the brim, and it starts to run over. And you go, God, you're wasting it. God said, I'm not wasting it. It's going to run over on you. Because when the cup, you with me? When the cup starts to run over, generally it aims towards your seat. You ever bumped a cup over? Huh? Where does it want to go? Yeah, right there. Not trying to be ugly or anything. It just wants to, and I see God pouring. So the next thing you know, it's starting to get in your seat. And then anytime the anointing starts to get in your seat area, you start getting uncomfortable. You start getting uncomfortable. You start saying, I got to get up from this. I can't sit here much longer. And the Lord says, what'd you say? You used to go, I can't sit here much longer. This is uncomfortable. And God says, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that. And that's when God slides the table out of the way. And that's when, verse 6, goodness and mercy show up. You want to know who goodness and mercy is? That's two oversized angels. One called goodness, one called mercy, that God appoints to follow you all the days of your life. So all of a sudden, God moves the table. How you doing? Did you get your answer? Okay. Did you get your answer? Okay. Just wanted to know if you got them. Didn't ask you what they were yet. So who do I get for goodness and mercy? Who do I get? Oh, there's all kinds of people in here I could get. Am I okay? You sure? You're the one that I'm. You and God are the one I'm concerned about. I like these people. I love these people. They've been kind to me this morning. I've been a little ugly. They've been nice to me. Thank you, by the way. She said, you're welcome. I like her. Can I pick goodness and mercy? You sure? Walt, will you stand right here for just a second, please? That okay? You sure? Okay. Pastor, three times I wanted to ask you something. I wanted to ask you in private, and the Lord said, the next person I'm having to stand up here, as I'm really fighting it, by the way, is Jesse. Because God said He's restoring things with you and him. This is what the Lord says. He says greater. You're greater. Your influence will be greater. Your impact will be greater. Your wisdom will be greater. Your vision will be greater. And it'll connect to Him. He's been like John Mark. God's called him back to you for a time and a season. What'd you say? I just want his soulmate to tell me that. Say that again. You believe. That's all that matters, secondly, with me, is that you believe I'm right. So, Jesse, you step here. Say, what are you doing? Can I do something real quick to you? I don't know why I'm here. When I got off the airplane, I told Jesse, I don't know why I'm here. For the love of God, I don't know why I'm here. He put me in a hotel room. Every time he's going to open his mouth, I've said, uh-uh. He goes, that's right, we don't talk, do we? I've had, and I don't mean disrespect to your pastor, I've literally hardly had nothing to do with him other than shoot guns with him and eat with him. I went to his house the other day, sat with him, his son-in-law, his daughter, and his wife. That's all we did for a few minutes. Never talked about y'all. Never talked about church. I'm trying to justify myself in just in case you wonder what I'm doing here. Just in case there is a cynic or skeptic that thinks that somebody's been running their mouth at me, I challenge you to question. I just challenge you. Here's how I challenge you. Go fall on your face and ask God, is He a liar or is He the real deal? And if I'm a liar, you ask God to judge me accordingly. How's that? Thank you, sir. He said amen. I thank you for saying that. Because I didn't come here to lie. I didn't come here to play. I didn't come here to hurt. I didn't come here to make anybody mad. I do. I have. But that is not my goal. I have one goal. That is to help do His will for this time. And I'm sorry. For right now, I'm the best He got. I reckon He sent it here. I'd argue the case with Him. But God's sending goodness and mercy to this house. Here's what goodness and mercy does. Goodness grabs under this arm, and mercy grabs under this arm, and they pick up the warrior. By the way, no longer a sheep. Sheep don't sit at tables. Sheep live in pastures. So in that verse where it said, I died in the valley of the shadow of death, He resurrects me now, not as a sheep, but as a warrior. So here's what I declare before this church's body of believers. I think God just went on a warpath. I think God just went on a warpath with powers, principalities, rulers, and darkness. I feel like God just said, I'm setting my house with a new anointing, with a new freshness, with a new call, with a new effort, with a new unction. And I'm going to show you how demons really tremble. I'm going to show you once again how powers and principalities really fall. I'm going to show you how really old school, so it says on your shirt. I want you to do something with me. I want you to worship. That's all I want you to do. I want you to worship. You know how to worship? I just sit there and worship. I just want you to worship. I just want you to love on Jesus. Hey, old school, let's do it like this. That's how we want to do it. Hey, old school, I feel like telling you, God's inhabiting your praise right there. And the more you praise Him, the more you're going to feel Him over something. The more you praise Him, the more He's going to anoint your head with oil. And there's an enemy in here that's going to run from you today. You're going to walk out of here with an enemy going, oh God. So the more you praise, I can't get you to do it. That's a willful effort. I can just point you in the right direction. But I'm telling you, the more you praise, the more you give Him glory, the more honor He receives, you're going to watch something bow down in front of you. Do I quit now? Do I quit now? So I quit. Go ahead, I can quit now. He says, I can quit now. If He says I can, I can. Yet,
I dreamt last night, and when I went to bed last night, I was somewhat apprehensive because of what was coming today. But I dreamt last night, and this is exactly what I dreamt. These are the people that I dreamt about last night. And there are others that are out there. I heard your voice. I heard your voice. I couldn't see you, but I could hear your voice. I could hear your voice. So I thank God. God has absolutely, 100%, undeniably confirmed His word today. Absolutely confirmed it.